Our lesson tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 10 through 21, God's instruction to his painfully persecuted servant. Interesting passage of scripture. If a believer is called of God to minister his word to hearers, he will face either a positive or a negative reaction. For the word of God is powerful and creates a reaction in those who hear it. Reminded of Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is sharp and powerful, and it splits even between the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, which is, you know, these are inanimate parts of man, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner or critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when the word of God penetrates like that, and you're ministering the word of God, it's going to have an effect. You never get a neutral reaction. There's either a positive or a negative one. Well, if God's servant gets a negative reaction, he will experience mental and emotional pain, which pain, if not handled correctly, will trip him up into sabotaging his own ministry for the Lord. Jeremiah faced this problem, and God directed him on how to overcome it and review it for our insight. It's amazing how practical this is. I know, I suppose, many pastors who, because they felt they experienced pain and persecution and opposition, quit. Just got out of the ministry because they didn't like the pain. Well, the ministry is a war. It's a warfare. In fact, Paul says war, a good war, is a soldier of Jesus Christ. So it's not a picnic. And so you have to know how to war. Go to warfare properly. Jeremiah 15, 10 to 21, we'll read it and then we'll look at it. Verse 10, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor have men lent to me on usury, and any one of them does curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of calamity and the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for fire is kindled in my anger which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I've suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if thou return or if thou repent, then I will bring thee again, and if thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vile and be as my mouth, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return now thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Okay. Having faced great hatred for his ministry of God's word, Jeremiah voiced grief that his mother had given him birth, for he was a man of strife and contention to the whole land. He had neither loaned nor borrowed anything from anyone, but all the people cursed him as though he had cheated them financially. So, interesting. Well, God addressed Jeremiah's grief, assuring him that he would deliver Jeremiah and that he would punish his foes. God told Jeremiah that he would surely deliver Jeremiah for a good purpose, that he would surely make his enemies plead with Jeremiah in their coming times of disaster and distress. Incidentally, this is very typical of the Lord's judgment. When he disciplines, he turns the tables 180 degrees. The ones who are the persecutors are the ones who end up pleading for help. And the one who has been persecuted is the one to whom they turn. Well, God addressed Jeremiah's grief And the Lord rhetorically asked Jeremiah's enemies if their iron could break the iron or bronze from the north, namely a reference to the overpowering Babylonians who had invaded them from the north. In other words, God is saying, Jeremiah, I'm going to punish them, but I'm going to punish them when the Babylonians come down. The Babylonians will be the bronze and the iron that nobody can break. That will break them. So I'm getting after them. Yes, they've committed a lot of sins. Some of them are against you, a lot of them are against one another. But I'm going to use the Babylonians to punish them. Well, number three, obviously Jeremiah's enemies could not withstand such invaders. So Jeremiah's enemies in Judah would see God give their wealth and treasures as free plunder to the Babylonians due to all their sins throughout the land. That's interesting because a lot of the sins had been performed out of greed so that they could get resources and goods and money for themselves instead of dealing in just dealings with other people. So God's going to make sure that all their property goods that they had acclaimed in greed would be given to the Babylonians. God would enslave these enemies of Jeremiah to enemies from Babylon, taking them to a foreign land, for God's anger would kindle the fire of judgment that would burn against them. In other words, God is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I will punish them. When the Babylonians come in, I will punish them. Well, that's not soon enough for Jeremiah. Jeremiah is hurting. His tail is between his legs. You know, he's whimpering and he's weeping before the Lord, and so he wants the Lord to deal out judgment now. So, such words from God did not satisfy the suffering Jeremiah, so he replied to God with a petition. Jeremiah testified that God knew of his sufferings, so he asked God to take vengeance on his persecutors with swift justice before Jeremiah was taken away in a death due to all his sufferings. See, Jeremiah is focusing on his sufferings. He's focusing on his pain. And he says, Lord, if you don't judge them quickly, the pain is going to kill me. Okay. Very interesting. He's focusing on the pain. That's what happens. You have the woe is me mentality. Well, God's prophet then expressed his just reasons for making such a bold request in Jeremiah 15:15-17. First of all, Jeremiah's sufferings of reproach was caused by his ministry for God, not for himself. See, what Jeremiah had done before he'd been called of the Lord had not caused people to hate him at all. He'd operated with people, got along with people fine. But all of a sudden, God calls him. God gives him this message. So he gives this message, and for his message from God, he suffers all this reproach. Second, in contrast to his hearers in Judah, Jeremiah had personally accepted God's words, and they had even become the joy and delight of his heart, for Jeremiah was called by God's name. The reference to eating the words of God means that he enjoyed them. He digested them, made them his own. He applied them to himself. So the judgment, the words of judgment against Judah, Jeremiah accepted. He said, yes, we have sinned. So he got on board. Third, Jeremiah had not sat in the company of Judah's revelers or rejoiced with them, but he had sat alone, separate from them as God's hand was upon him, filling him with anger over Judah's sins. If you ever get involved in ministry, you'll have this experience. The Lord will give you a deep, deep-seated intolerance for sin, especially sin in people to whom you're ministering. When I first got into the ministry, it was kind of a shock, but I saw it was there. And it's of the Lord, and it's of the Lord because he specifically wants his messenger to deal with the issue of those sins. He wants them dealt with. And Jeremiah had experienced this, and as a result, he couldn't party with the people. He was too upset because the Spirit of God had caused him to be upset at their sin. And that's why he couldn't just party with them. Fourth, God's prophet suffered increasing bouts of mental pain over his persecutions, like an incurable wound that refused to be healed. This suffering led Jeremiah faithlessly to ask if God himself would be to him like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. The incessant suffering Jeremiah faced led him to focus on that suffering that in turn caused him to doubt that God would actually deliver him as God had said he would rescue him. That's the danger point. When you're focusing so much on the pain of the suffering that you're getting from the persecution, you begin to doubt that God is good, that God is going to help you out. And when that happens, you're very, very close to getting wiped out. It's called burnout in ministry. And I know of many people that have gone through that route. And Jeremiah was at this point. He was at the tipping point. Now, what's interesting, and I love this passage, what God does next. God addresses Jeremiah. He understands Jeremiah's pain. He understands Jeremiah's mindset. And he pulls back, and he becomes extremely objective, which is what we need. Jeremiah's focus on his persecution, sufferings, and led him to distrust God, akin to how Judah's ungodly people, he was supposed to call to repent, also distrusted God. So the Lord corrected Jeremiah, calling him to shift from his troublesome subjectivity and return to trusting God's objective words of promise to him. I've had this experience a number of times in ministry, where you get into this, all of a sudden the Lord allows a situation to come along and hits you up the side of the head. It's like a gong. And the Lord wakes you up and makes you suddenly have to think objectively, because your subjectivity is getting you into trouble. So God says, all right, you're going to have to look above your pain here and look at reality. Because if you don't look at reality, you're going to get wiped out. The Lord responded to Jeremiah, calling him to repent if he expected to serve the Lord. Notice verse 19, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. You want to stand before me? You want to stand before me as my prophet? Look, you're going to have to repent. Because I can't take you as a prophet at this point with your mindset that you have now. You're doubting me. No. Yeah, you're very close to me just setting you aside, so you're going to have to repent. Then God's prophet was to utter precious, not worthless words, like he had just uttered about the Lord. See, the worthless words were that he doubted God, that God was good. Those are worthless words. Those are intolerable to God. We have to repent of that. And he was to get Judah's people to turn to his good words and not for him to turn to the faithless ones. See, Jeremiah was beginning to shift and become like the people that he was supposed to see turn to his words. He was beginning to turn to them in their faithlessness. And he wasn't supposed to do it. Now, if Jeremiah would thus repent, let's get back to God's viewpoint, God would make him a fortified bronze wall so that his foes could not prevail against him, for God would be with him to deliver him from wicked, ruthless men. It's interesting that he didn't say, I'm going to make the people suddenly be nice to you. The people are not about to be nice. They're ruthless. They're wicked. They're not going to change. But I will be with you so that they cannot overcome you. You'll be like a bronze wall. They will attack you. They will come after you. But you'll withstand them because I'm with you to deliver you. Now, what's interesting is that this promise recalls God's promise to Jeremiah in his call in the ministry back in Jeremiah chapter 1. If you go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, where God had called him, the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah and says, behold, I have made you this day a defensed city and an iron pillar and a brass walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Everybody's going to be against you. But I've made you a stiff brass wall against them. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. In other words, I'm going to make you very hard-headed. They will not be able to penetrate your hard-headedness. And it will be me doing it because I want you to resist that. So, this shows that God wanted Jeremiah to shift from focusing subjectively on his persecution pain to trust God's objective word. This is such a precious passage of Scripture. I can't emphasize it enough, especially if you're facing ministry, if you're facing reactions, negative reactions, even witnessing reactions that are negative and so forth, and persecution for that. God wants us to get away from the feelings, the pain stuff, the subjectivity, and focus on the objectivity of his word. And God wants to make us tough. He wants to make us strong so that we withstand all that pressure and stand up against it, that we might continue to work for him. The persecution Jeremiah faced tempted him to focus subjectively on his persecution pain and thus to fail to trust God's word to help him. So God directed him to shift his focus away from his pain back to God's word. To handle painful persecution we face for the Lord, may we avoid subjectively focusing on the pain and instead stay focused on God's objective word regarding how he promises to deal with our foes for his glory. The latest issue we got of The Voice of the Martyrs had a story in it about a pastor who is 90 years of age. He has been persecuted 8 times for his faith. A number of those times he's been actually knocked unconscious physically because of the beatings that he's taken. All right, 90 years of age. He is standing possibly to be persecuted for the 9th time. Who knows, by this time he might have been persecuted for the 9th time. And he prays for his persecutors. He is persecuted for his faith. But he says, I am going to serve my Lord Jesus Christ until I can't breathe anymore. They might knock me out, but as long as I come back, I go back into the village and I keep preaching at them and preaching to them. And he goes into the village, he beats on a drum, gets their attention, then he gives them the gospel. And that's what has caused him to be beaten up. 90 years of age. He's been knocked out a number of times. He's getting ready to persecute his 9th time. His argument was this: I have already given up so much for Jesus Christ. I don't have anything to lose but my life. But he says, if I lose my life, I go home to be with Jesus. So what am I going to do? I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care what they do to me. And I think this is the toughness that we're supposed to have. This man is very loving. He's very kind. He's very mild and so forth, but very tough. He's learned to lay his life on the altar for God. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to get to the point where if we get negative reactions or painful reactions from people for the minister that we have, that we not yield to that subjectively, but that we look at the Word of God, see what God's Word says, and just go ahead and do it. If we do that, God will make us like a brass wall, and we will be tough, and the foes will not be able to handle us, and we will be a light to them that they can come to know Christ.